Heavenly Father, the subject you've given me to share with your people tonight, without your anointing, without the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells on the inside, it will just come forth with just words that mean nothing. But with your anointing, with the leading of your Holy Spirit, Father, I know that your words shall accomplish what they were sent forth to do in each and every one of our hearts. And we're going to look at a person in scriptures that we can learn from. And by learning from him, Father, there are some little valuable nuggets that we need to apply in our lives, especially in the times in which we live now. So, Father, we just commit this night to you. We commit the leading of your Holy Spirit in each and every person's life that is here tonight. Thank you for the spiritual ears you've given them to hear, the spiritual eyes that you've given them to see. And Lord, allow my spirit to be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read three scriptures, and then I'm going to explain to you the little trip we're going to go on. I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." That word expressly there means distinctly, pour forth. And these scriptures that I read to are still part of the teaching I did last time on what is God planted, because Pastor Mark had touched on the passage of scripture in Matthew 15:13 about whatsoever the Father has not planted shall be uprooted. And I asked the question the last time, what things have you allowed or I have allowed to be planted in our hearts that God never intended to be planted there? Go to Matthew 24:24. It says, "For false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Go to Mark 13:22. That word deceive there in that passage of Scripture we just read means to cause to stray, lead astray, lead aside from the right way, roam from safety to err, to seduce. But in this passage of Scripture, in Mark 13:22, it says, "For false Christ and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." You know, I kept reading those three passages of Scripture and over, and the word that kept jumping out to me is even the elect. You know, as followers of Jesus Christ, none of us want to ever be deceived. None of us ever want to walk away from the truth that we know in Jesus Christ. And you know, in that verse of Scripture in Matthew 15:13, can you pull that up for me? He says, "But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be uprooted." And, you know, we can hide things in our hearts that the Father's not planted and think we're okay. But, as Pastor Mark has said, what happens when we get squeezed? What happens when we get pressure? What happens when it gets tough? What's going to come out? Is it Jesus juice? Or is it going to be something that's planted in there that we haven't dealt with? And see, the Lord really impressed upon me, and I had to examine my own heart, because I was reminded, and Pastor Mark and I talked about this just briefly, I was reminded of David. You know? David had a heart. He messed up. He disappointed God. But we have Psalm 51 when he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Pull up Psalm 51. I want to read that. It was not in my notes, but I got to go with the leading of the Lord, because there's something about David here. In verse 1 of Psalm 51, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." That's a key component right there, acknowledging our transgressions. Because the person we're going to take a look at tonight didn't do that. It says, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." Verse 6, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." See, those are the things God desires, truth in the inward heart. Those things that are not planted by God in our hearts that do not produce truth, He wants them out. "And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, and the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." See, that's God's heart. David was crying out because he needed to have his relationship restored with the Lord. Person we're going to take a look at tonight, if I say Judas Iscariot, what comes to mind? Betrayal. As soon as someone hears Judas Iscariot, they think of the one who betrayed Jesus. Well, I want to take a look at some things about Judas Iscariot, because the Lord showed me some things that we can learn from Judas. Yeah, he betrayed Jesus, but there's some very important things that we can learn from Judas. This is interesting. His name, Judas, means praise the Lord. Iscariot signifies the men of Corinth, which was a town south of the... It was a town south, and I forgot the name of it. I forgot to write it down. But Judas Iscariot was the only disciple not from Galilee. Okay, this is just a little information. But Judas Iscariot... And this is why I refer to those first three scriptures first, when it talks about even the elect can be deceived. Was Judas Iscariot chosen by Jesus to be a disciple? Yeah, he was. Did Judas Iscariot travel and study with Jesus 4 years? Under Jesus' ministry? Yes, he did. He was also called by Jesus to preach the gospel. Matthew 10:1. Can you put that up for me? And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them the power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. Next verse. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Verse 4. Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. He was chosen by Jesus to be a disciple. But there was something in Judas's heart that he never dealt with. And Jesus knew that. But yet he chose him as a disciple. And I said that Jesus knew that there was something in his heart. I want you to go over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 66. It says, from that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him, have not I chosen you 12? Jesus is saying, I've chosen you 12. But look what he says here. And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Jesus knew before he even betrayed him what was in his heart. Yet he walked with Jesus for 3 years. He sat under the teachings of Jesus. He did all those things. See, Jesus knew the spirit and the heart of Judas Iscariot. Just like he knows your heart, he knows my heart. You know, we can pretend and we can play all these games with one another, but we cannot play games or hide things from Jesus. He sees it. He knows it. And it's his desire that all men repent. He doesn't want us to keep those things. He wants us to deal with them. And we're going to see that Judas didn't do that. Go to John chapter 13. We're just taking a look at some different situations that occurred with Jesus regarding Judas Iscariot. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's sons, to betray him. Satan is always looking for an opportunity to put something in your heart or my heart to get us to betray Jesus. He's always looking for opportunity. That's why we have to guard our hearts. We have to guard our hearts at all times. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. He's getting ready to teach his disciples a very valuable lesson. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do know thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Not all were clean. Who's he talking about there? He's talking about Judas Iscariot. Not all were clean. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. Once again, we have Jesus telling us that he knew in advance there was something in Judas Iscariot's heart that was going to cause him to betray him. Now, Judas could have done some things to change that, but it had already been entered into his heart. The devil had already entered into his heart. He was a puppet in the devil's hands. In that same chapter, let's go on down to verse 21. I got to lay all this out before I can get to the main points of what the Lord showed me regarding Judas. Verse 21, it says, When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them, one of you are going to betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. So the other 11 disciples were concerned. Is he talking about me? Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered. Did Jesus say, oh, it's Judas Iscariot? No. But he told him what was about to happen. Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus said unto him, Thou doest quickly. No man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy these things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Now the bag that they're talking about there, Judas Iscariot was in charge of money. And that money, that desire that he had in his heart for money that he never dealt with, was his downfall. And see, the enemy is subtle. There's little things. Jim Lockwood did a teaching one time on the little foxes. You know, it's The devil is not going to destroy the elect with the obvious. He wants to destroy you and me with the little subtle things that we go, yeah, we're okay with God. No, we're not. We can't be okay with those little things. If the Lord prompts you or prompts me about something that's in my heart, we have to go after it and we have to say, Lord, uproot whatever it is that's in our heart. We do not want that in our heart because it will affect our relationship with you at some point in time. And this money was a problem. Now then, if we go back to John, stay in the book of John and go back to chapter 12, in verse 1, I'm going to read down to verse 6. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, who says it? Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now, do you think that was really Judas Iscariot's heart? He wasn't concerned about the poor. He was concerned about the money that was not obtained by selling that precious ointment because he said, not that he cared for the poor because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that was put therein. Of course, Jesus corrects the situation. He then said, Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. See, once again, he was concerned, Judas Iscariot was concerned about the money. He wanted that money. He wanted more money in that bag. And I'm making a big deal out of the money because guess what? That ended up being his downfall. That ended up being his downfall. He was an embezzler. He was a stealer. He was looking for any way to get money. And what did Satan use to get him to betray Jesus? Money. 30 pieces of silver. Now, go over to Matthew chapter 26. Because in verse 14 of Matthew 26, it says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Once again, his desire, that desire that was in his heart for money, is the exact thing that caused him to betray Jesus. And you know what that, in my notes, that 30 pieces of silver, it says, was worth $52.80. $52.80. Is anything in your heart or my heart worth $52.80 to stop following Jesus? I don't think so. But that was the amount that it has in my notes, 5280. That's a small amount of money. Was it worth the price that it cost Judas Iscariot? No. But see, it doesn't have to be money. It could be any little thing in your heart or my heart that we've allowed the enemy to plant something in there that we don't want to deal with to get us to not follow Jesus. It's a scary thing. In Luke 22, go to Luke 22. Starting in verse 47. So he's already made the deal for 30 pieces of silver to be the one to betray Jesus. Let's take a look at here in verse 47. And while he yet speak, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were to come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Nothing could have happened to Jesus if God the Father didn't allow it to happen. Everything that went on in Jesus' life, God the Father had to allow to happen. And there's things that go on in your life and my life that God allows to happen. But see, here's a valuable, this is one of the things that's very important about what happened with Judas. Go to Matthew chapter 27. You know, I've looked at Judas before, but there was something different about the direction the Lord had me go this time, because the Lord said, I don't want you to look at him as a betrayer, even though he was. He says, I want you to look at Judas as someone comparable to even the elect. And how he got, and how he betrayed Jesus, but he was known as the one who was the betrayer of Jesus, right? And yet he walked and was with Jesus all 3 years of his ministry. I said, Lord, how can that happen? Well, the first thing he showed me was the area of the money. But in Matthew 27, let me get there, starting in verse 1, It says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it, to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Judas takes the 30 pieces of silver back because he knew what he had done was wrong. But see, the world's way of repenting and apologizing for our mistakes doesn't take away the issue of the heart. And we know there's worldly repentance and there's godly repentance. And in this case, he goes back and says, you know, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And what's the response? What is that to us? We don't care. We got what we wanted. We wanted Jesus. You gave him to Jesus. We don't care. That's your problem. See, that's not the heart of Jesus. That's the heart of the world. The world would say, big deal. It's okay. It doesn't matter. And what did it lead Judas to do? He says he departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them in the treasury because it is the price of blood. Interesting. Judas Iscariot was always concerned about money and money in the bag, money in the treasury. And what do they say here? It is not lawful to put them in the treasury because it is the price of blood. It wasn't worth that money. Those 30 pieces of silver wasn't worth putting in the treasury. The thing that Judas had hidden in his heart, it wasn't even worth it. It says, and they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, when they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. It's interesting because let's go over to Acts chapter 1. Starting in verse 15. It says, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. His whole insides, when he thrust just fell and just burst out in that same plot of land. But what got me was in it says, concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. He guided them to take Jesus, for he was numbered with us. He was part of us. He was part of us. And had obtained part of this ministry. He was part of the ministry and of the 12 disciples that Jesus called. So can we say that he was one of the elect? Yeah, he did. He was one of the elect. Jesus chose him. Go to Matthew. This is another. This scripture, along with the first three I read, they're never fun to read, but they will always keep you in check. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These are people. He's talking about people that knew him. But there was something there that prevented them from being part of the elect. And I wrote down some things here. Here's one of the questions, or one of the things I wrote down. Judas Iscariot was one of the called disciples. He walked with Jesus for those 3 years of ministry. He preached the gospel. This is what I wrote down. You can meditate and you can chew on it. Appearances can be deceiving. Appearances can be deceiving. And thank God that Jesus does not go, or God does not go, by outward appearances. He goes by what's in the inward man and the inward heart. And remember when David was chosen to be king? 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Listen to what the Lord says to Samuel. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Many times we are so consumed and we have to guard our hearts, because it can be a downfall by looking on the outward appearance and base our discernment of where that person is in Christ Jesus by the outward appearance. God doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. David had many brothers outwardly. Based upon the outward appearance, were more qualified, right? But were they selected? No. You and I are not selected on our outward appearance. We're selected by what's on the inside. And we may put on a good appearance on the outside that comes across and makes us look spiritual, makes us look like Christ followers. And up until, and Jesus knew what was in Judas Iscariot's heart the whole time. But even when he said, there's one among you that's going to betray me, the other 11 disciples were like flabbergasted, like, who is it? I wrote this down. It's a question that you have to answer. It's a question I have to answer. It's a question we have to answer every day. Are we true followers of Jesus or secret pretenders? Are we true followers of Jesus or are we secret pretenders? See, when we look at the life of Judas, and I, as I went through all these scriptures and I started looking at Judas, because it doesn't go into great detail. The Bible doesn't go into great detail. But when I got done with all of it, this is what I walked away with. Judas teaches us to guard against small, gradual failings that can gain strength and power in our lives that could open the door to more deadly influences. We all have to guard our hearts from that. Because, like I said, the enemy is not going to fool us. He knows we got too much word. He knows we're too smart to fall for the obvious. It's the subtle little things. The subtle little thing in Jesus' heart was money. Satan used the money to cause Judas Iscariot to be a betrayer of Jesus. As I said before, 3 years. 3 years. You know, many of us in here have walked with Jesus a lot longer than 3 years. But do we have something in there that we've been prompted by the Holy Spirit to deal with and we don't want to deal with it? Be careful. And this is, I wrote down four things that I learned from looking at Jesus. Number one, we can fool one another, but Jesus knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in my heart. We can't fool Him. We can put on a good show. Put on a good front. But Jesus knows what's in our heart. And those four scriptures, the three that I read at the beginning, and that one in Matthew, I remember talking to Pastor Bill one time about that one in Matthew. He goes, yeah, he goes, that's a scary one. that he can say, you know, you did all these things, but I don't know you. That's not a good place to be. Second thing I learned from Judas is undealt with desires can affect your walk and my walk with the Lord Jesus. We ignore them. Something I've had to deal with, thank God for helpmates, is procrastination sometimes. We procrastinate. We put things off. Not a good thing to do. The Lord tells you to do something, you need to get it done. Whether it's spiritually or whether it's physical things. I'm always reminded of my father. My mother died on my father's birthday. And my father came home early from work. He was a farmer. Found my mom dead on the living room floor. His plans for her birthday was she died on my dad's birthday. That's what it was. My dad's plans was to clear out a piece of property because we had a double lot, so he could have knocked down the house we were living in. He was going to build a different house, which would have been my mom's dream. Never happened. Because he procrastinated. I remember going through stuff and Sue found a drawing of a plan that my mom had cut out. See, those are the little subtle things that allows you and I to get robbed. And you know, the other thing I wrote down is only Jesus knows what a person is really like. You know, we think we know everyone. We think we know each other very well. Only Jesus knows us very well. And that's just like what I read in 1 Samuel 16:7. The outward appearances. We can fool one another in the outward appearances, but we cannot fool Jesus. And the most important thing in looking at Jesus, or looking at Judas, confessing our errors or our sins to man never will produce true repentance. We have to get it right with Jesus. And Jesus only. By Judas not getting it right and going back, giving the silver back, 30 pieces of silver. His life could have been spared. His life could have been spared. But it was not done that way. Because he was making amends with man and not with God. So see, Judas Iscariot, he's the one who betrayed Jesus. But when we look at why he betrayed Jesus and what was in his heart, there's a lot we can learn. There's a lot we can learn. Because as I referred to those scriptures in the beginning about the very elect, and what was it that caused the very elect to be deceived? False prophets. False teachings. We hear it from Pastor Mark. We've heard it from Pastor Bill all those years. And we get lazy, brothers and sisters. And we're not in the time and place in the events of Jesus wrapping things up that we can be lax in not testing every spirit. Not assessing whatever we hear or see as it lines up with this. This is the only truth that will always stand the test of time. And I've said this before, but I have to say it, and then I'm going to pray and close. I thank God for that man that Sue and I met 2 weeks after I got saved, who told me and was discerning enough to say, "How long you been saved, Larry?" I said, 2 weeks. He says, "How many books have brothers and sisters in the Lord given you to read in that 2 weeks of your walk with the Lord?" I said, "I got six of them at home." He goes, "Put them somewhere where you can't see them and don't pick them up. Don't even open them. Don't look at the forward. Don't look at anything." He said, "I was a con." He says, "Satan's a con." He goes, "You go to a bank, and bank tellers get trained by handling real money, not fake." He says, "For the first 2 years of your walk with Jesus Christ, do not read anything other than this from Genesis to Revelation, and read it from cover to cover as many times as you can." I said, "Why?" He goes, "It's a good question, but it's really a stupid question." And he goes, "I'm not trying to say that to be offensive." He goes, "But every young believer thinks it's kind of a stupid question. But as you mature, you realize it's not a stupid question. It's a very important question." He goes, "How will you ever know the counterfeit if you don't know the real?" See, we have to know the real. And if we're not sure of what is being said to us or what is being taught to us, it better line up with this. If it doesn't line up with this, that's how even the elect can be deceived. And God doesn't want that for any one of us. He doesn't want any one of us to be deceived. He does not ever want to have to say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." He doesn't want to say that. But yet he will have to say that because we chose, just like Judas Iscariot chose. He had something, some little thing that he didn't want to deal with, and it caused him to betray Jesus and walk away with Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for the things that Judas taught us. And Lord, we can't go back and change anything that occurred with Judas, but there's things that we can learn from Judas. That's why you have all these different people that you've given us in the Bible that we can learn from. Mistakes that they made, errors that they made, just like we do, Lord. We make errors. We do things that are not pleasing to you, Father. But Lord, because of your mercy, because of your grace, we can come to you, acknowledge our errors, and say, "Lord, forgive me." And truly repent and allow you to change and uproot those things that are in our heart that we've just subtly allowed to come in, Father. Oh, Lord, remove them all. Remove them all. I thank you for the self-examination, Lord, that you caused me to take in my own heart. Because there was little things, Lord, I didn't even realize were still there. But I had to give them to you, Lord. Before I stood up here tonight, I had to give them to you. I thank you for taking them. I thank you for removing them. I thank you for your faithfulness. Because you are a long-suffering God, a merciful God, a gracious God. So Lord, help each and every one of us to always make sure we're right with you, Lord. Because none of us have a guarantee of the next breath or tomorrow, but we want to be ready. And we want to hear a good and faithful servant. Come and sit at the banquet table. In Jesus' name, amen.